In Matthew chapter 25, we have a familiar parable about the talents. It's one of my favorites. I've probably spoken on this parable in different ways and numerous times over the years. And we're going to again tonight. I don't have any particular reason for speaking on this tonight, except for the fact that I didn't have anything else to do and I had to come up with something, and so this suggested itself to me. So let's go ahead and read the parable, beginning in the 14th verse. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. He said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." First of all, some things that we need to set the stage for right at the beginning to explain this parable. The man that is traveling into a far country who calls his servants and delivers unto them his goods is our Lord. He left earth. He left us in charge of his stuff here. And he's coming back sometime to receive his people and to judge his people. This is the Lord. The talents that he gave here, it's the representation that we are reading of what he gave in the parable is money. But it's not what he's talking about in the parable. This is not talking about how much money you have, not how much you earn or how much you have in the bank. Because what the Lord has given to us that the parable is representing is every gift that we own, everything that we have, what we were born with, the things that our parents gave to us, the teaching that our church gave to us, whatever makes up our being is what these talents are that the Lord gave to us, that he wants us to go out and use in his kingdom. This includes our money, but it is not talking about our money. This is a parable. It's not talking about money here. It's talking about us being servants to Christ. So what he delivered to the servants. He delivered to one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. In other words, he looked out over this Lord in the parable looks out over his people, and he says, you can handle this much, you can handle this much, you can handle this much, and he starts delivering, he divides up all the stuff that he owns and leaves it under the hand of servants to take care of it. What we're going to look at tonight now is who are you? What did God deliver to you? That's what's important to you. What did God give you? This is an interesting way to put it, that he gave 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And we see in the parable, which is a representation of what people do with the talents that God gave to them, we see one go out and use them and double them. We see another go out and use them and double them. And we see another do nothing with it. Now, it would appear sometimes, if you read this parable only, that it seemed like the people that God put in upper positions did better than the people that God put in lower positions. Okay, that is not true, and the parable does not teach that. Okay, the parable gave a representation of 3 people that God gave talents to, and of how those 3 people used those talents. We can go to the scriptures and very clearly establish the fact that people who are put in upper places of society are usually the ones failing in life. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says in verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Now I think that Paul could have probably written that verse to this church. You see your calling, brethren. How many people here are from the upper ranks of society? How many people here have graduated from the high-ranking schools of the world? How many people here have salaries above $200,000 a year? How many people here could have had anything in the world that you wanted when you were 18 years old because you were intelligent enough to do anything you wanted? Ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now I know for a fact that in spite of the fact, and this was the case in the Corinthian church, in spite of the fact that it would be correct to say to this church, ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh are called. What was Paul writing the book of 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian church? What was the main message of the church? You guys think you are something and you're not. That was the main message of the book of 1 Corinthians. You guys are puffed up. You guys are living like kings. You guys think you're special. You guys think that you have arrived to a high place in Christianity. and you are carnal, living according to the flesh. That's the message that Paul wrote to them. Why, if they could look at their ranks and see, there aren't very many people after the flesh that are high up people or great people here. Why do we think we're so special? Now be careful, very, very, very careful to think correctly about yourself, because you know one of the very first things that will prevent a person from using their talents for God is to think that their talents are above what they actually are. That's your first pitfall. I'm one of the people that God gave the 10 talents to, we might want to reckon. I'm one of the people that God blessed. I am the person that is supposed to be leader in the church. Or I am the person that is naturally going to have the respect of the people and be the one that is served, and the one that people look up to and come to with their questions. And I am the person, in our minds, we think this way. I am the one that is the intelligent one. I can do this. I can do that. I can be this. I can be that. And the fact of the matter is, what God gave you was a broom in your closet, and He wants you to go sweep the floor. And because you think you're something better than that, you leave that broom sit in the closet. That's your talent. If God gave you a broom and there's a floor that needs to be swept, and you don't sweep the floor, you buried your talent. And if you thought that sweeping the floor was something that was for somebody a little bit lesser than you, if you thought you had something more important to do in life, and so you neglected the thing that God gave you to do the things that you wanted to do instead of the things God gave you to do, you will never grow. You will never use what God gave to you. And at the end of this parable, the person who does not use their talent is actually lost. But back to the beginning of what we were talking about here. He gave 10 talents to one person, he gave 5 to another, and he gave 1 to another. And let me just say, as a matter of fact, right now, most of the people that are sitting in this room tonight are people that got one. You've got one talent. You know, the people who have the 10 talents aren't serving God. Those are the people who are successful in life. Those are the people who can do anything they want. Those are the people who the world is worshiping. Those are the people who have made their name in sports or are wealthy and can do anything they want to. Those are the people who never learned who God was because they had life handed to them. They are people with extreme abilities. They think of themselves as the upper class. And those people, as a general rule, are not sitting in churches. They're out living for themselves because they've never been brought to the foot of the cross. Because the very first thing that you have to do to be brought to the foot of the cross is to admit that you are absolutely worthless, just a piece of dirt that is deserving of the judgment of God, and the only hope you have in life is Jesus Christ. That's the way of salvation. If you haven't ever done that, you haven't ever been saved. And the rich and the wealthy and the affluent people of this world don't usually do that. Now, however, it really doesn't make a lot of difference what God did give to you. The important thing is what do you have? What do you have? And I want to ask every person that is here tonight to answer in your own heart, who am I? What are my talents? You can do this next week. You can do it tonight before you go to bed. Or you can perhaps sit and make a list while I'm preaching tonight in your notebook. What are your talents? What can I do? Is my talent being a mama and I'm at home with my kids? And when, if that's your talent, if your talent is being a mom and you're at home with your kids, you don't have the ability to work a job, so you're not going to support missions. You don't have influence in life because you haven't been made a teacher of the younger women yet because you're still a younger woman yourself. You don't really know exactly what you're supposed to be doing, but you've got kids. And what do you do? You know what many Christian mothers do when they're at home in that situation? Well, they wholesale neglect the one most important job on the face of the earth that God handed to them, which was their kids. If Christian parents would take their kids as a gift from God and treat them as the very talents that are going to make or break whether or not they make it into heaven or not, the kids that would come out of Christian homes would turn the world upside down. God didn't give you those kids because he wanted you to fuss and fume to your husband at night about the struggles you have raising the kids by yourself. God didn't give you those kids for that reason. He gave you those kids for you to pour your entire life into them. Perhaps there's somebody in this room who says, you know, I was the intelligent person in my family. I wasn't, by the way. But perhaps there's somebody here who thinks so. I was the intelligent person in my family, you say. Have you done more for God than all your brothers and sisters then? Because you know, when God gave 10 talents to one person, he didn't want to come to that person and find that person only having gained 5. When God gave 10 talents, he expected those 10 talents to go to 20 by the time he returned. The person who only got 5 talents, if he gained 5 others, he used everything to its max that God gave him. But if you only got 5 with your 10, you were a lazy person. You didn't do well. Don't start bragging about who you are, or don't start thinking higher about who you are than you have actually accomplished. Paul says, let every man think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We are not supposed to be humble to the point that we don't recognize, okay, I've accomplished this, this, and this, and this, and I'm keeping building in this way. Now we should never look at our work and say, I did this. We should only ever thank God for the things he's helped us to do. But it's okay to look back at your life and say, you know, I did this, this, and this. This was my accomplishment in life. Now, when I was a kid, I had a very high opinion of myself. I had a very high opinion of my family. I had a very high opinion of my sisters. I don't anymore. No, the whole thing. I don't have a high opinion of my family or myself either. But you know, if I had thought soberly when I was a kid and I thought my family was special, if I had thought soberly and I could have looked at my family and I said, well, this is what all of us kids have accomplished in life. Do you want me to write the list up here? We have successfully played in boredom for many hours. We have successfully gossiped about every person on the face of the earth we ever met. We have successfully dishonored and disrespected our parents. We have successfully made messes and sort of cleaned them up. I'm not sure what else he did. Why on the face of the earth did I think my family was special? I have no idea. Because I could not have pointed to a single thing that I had ever done in life that was worth anything. Nothing. I didn't even learn English. I can barely diagram a sentence today. I never learned algebra. I stopped before algebra. I wasn't intelligent enough to put... I didn't want to work hard enough to do it. I never learned a foreign language. I tried to learn the piano, and I still can't play. You know, God gave me 20 years of youth that I did not do anything with. That is the truth. God gave me 20 years of youth that I should have taken the talents that God gave to me and doubled them, and I did nothing with it. I totally wasted that time. And I thought I was special. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the more God gives to a person, the more he's going to ask of them. But he doesn't only ask back of us just what he gave to us. Sometimes he also asks back of us what we claim to have. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now because you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." They claimed to know. Jesus looked at them in pity as blind guides of the blind. He knew they were blind. He knew they couldn't see. He knew they knew nothing. But they claimed to see. And so he judged them on the basis of those who could see. He judged them on the basis of people who were actually defiant to the truth because they claimed to be able to see. Don't claim to be anything tonight besides a servant like Jesus wants you to be. If we all would just claim to be servants, then when any work came along that needed to be done, we would be the first at it. And that is the number one thing that will take your talents, the talents God gave you, and increase them. It's work. You don't increase without work. You notice that the person who does not increase his talent, who buries it in the earth, is called slothful. In verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." You see, it wasn't the fact that he had no talent. It was the fact that he didn't work. It was the fact he didn't want to deal with it. I would be very surprised if he didn't very highly relish the talent that he had. And had you been his friend in this story, and you had gone over to his home and visited him, he would have taken you into his living room and he would have sat you down and told you how he was a servant of the king. And he owned something very special that was left to his care while the king was away. He had a whole talent all to his own. He could have bragged for a long time about all the value that he had. And actually, he had none. Because he didn't use it. So what is it? What is it that is your talent tonight? If you have talents, and you know what you have the ability to do, if you have talents, then those are the things that's where you want to start. You want to see accomplishment. You know, one of the reasons that I love this parable is because I run a business. And anything that has to do with money Ever since I started the business, and even before that, I've just always been into numbers. I like numbers. And because this parable represents money, it resonates with myself. Listen to the story, the five talents. Do you know if we translate this into business, it goes like this: I have five talents. I'm going to go do something with those five talents. I'm going to go open a business with these five talents. So we take those five talents and we get rid of them all. We don't keep them. They don't go in a bank account. We get rid of all of them. That's how you expand. You take those five talents and you spend them. You buy something with them. Now, anytime any person goes into business, everything that you invest in business is a risk. There's no guarantee when you go into business that you will ever get a return. It is up to a customer as to whether or not you will ever get a return. Now, the fact of the matter is, this is a parable, so we can't make everything exact here. Because at the moment that this man goes and invests his five talents and he buys something with them, let's imagine that the next day the Lord were to come back and he were to say, "Now, hey, I'm collecting my money. Give me the five talents." And the man would say, "I don't have them. I spent them." No, that doesn't make a lot of sense in this parable, but it's actually the truth, because that man, there was no possible way that man took those five talents and turned them into 10 without having spent them. You've got to get rid of them. They have to be used. You've got to use them up in order to expand them. So you take those five talents and you go invest them in something. We're going to open a business now. Five talents. So you take those five talents and your business is open, and now at the end of the first year, you tally up your numbers and you say, "All right, I took those five talents, and now I don't have any money right now because the business represents this money now. The money is in this business. But what is in this business right now? Is it 4.5 talents?" You know, when you do the numbers at the end of year one, it might be 4.5 talents, because that's the way business gets started. But at the end of year two, if it's 4 or 3 or 2, you say, "My business failed." You sell your business for what it's worth, even if it's only one talent, and you go invest it into another business. Because what you want to see at the end of a year or 2 years or 3 years or whatever is reasonable, you want to see that five talents to be 6. And any person who runs business for a period of years and does not see what they started with having grown, you quit. There's no reason to keep going. You know, I have a very successful business. And just in case anybody wants to sell millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of stuff, a business you can go into tomorrow morning and you can literally probably sell a few trillion dollars worth of stuff in a single year. Okay? It's very simple. You sell $100 bills for $95. I will be your biggest customer. Business doesn't work that way, does it? What are the things that you've been bragging about yourself? What do you think? Who do you think you are? Do you think you have a talent to do this, this, and this, and this? You know, listen, girls. Is there anybody here who thinks that you are musically inclined and potentially could learn to play the piano? And you know less about it this year than you did 5 years ago? That's what we're talking about. What are you doing with your talents? Is there somebody here who believes that maybe their calling in life would be to be a Bible teacher, and you've invested so little time into the Bible in the last 10 years that you can't even name the 66 books in order? If you are running a business and your talents are diminishing year after year after year, you aren't going anywhere. And if you are running a business and let's imagine that you take your business and you and instead of selling $100 bills for $95, you sell $100 bills for $100. Now, you might have a hard time getting many sales. But if you sell them on eBay, and there are people on eBay who are just looking to do nothing but increase their score of positive feedback, you might sell a few. But you know, at the end of a year, even if you sold $100 bills for $100, you still have the same that you started with. You didn't decrease anything. If you take this church back 25 years ago, and say, where did this church go in the last 25 years? It looks nearly to me like a business selling $100 bills for $100. Just about nowhere. And this is what makes up our life. These talents that God committed to us, our life. It's what we're supposed to be living. And you know what? We oftentimes fall into the problem in life where we always think that fruit is coming. Fruit is coming. We're working now. The pay is coming. And you know, that is the truth. That is the truth sometimes. But it's not the truth if the tree is dead or unhealthy and not bearing fruit. It's not the truth then. If there's a harvest out there in the field that you're waiting for it to ripen and you see it coming, that's the truth. But if you have not tended to your tree for the last couple of years and it hasn't borne fruit for the last few years and you aren't doing anything to it to help it bear fruit, that's not the truth. The harvest is not coming someday. The harvest doesn't exist. And like I have said here many, many times, we oftentimes like to think about ourselves as we dream we are. You know, who are you? Who are you? You are this awesome, handsome young man who is going to marry a world-class girl and have 10 world-class children, have a very good business where you have money enough to not only support your family, but give hundreds of thousands of dollars to missions. And in fact, you may be a missionary, but if not a missionary, a preacher, or if not a preacher, at least a leader in your local community. And the people are going to flock to you because of your values and listen to you teach the Word of God. And the accomplishments in your life are wonderful. But the problem is you haven't done that. That's just who you think you are. And actually, who you actually are, if you go look back over the last 10 years of your life and see what you actually did, that's who you actually are. That's who you are. You aren't that person that you dream you are. You're that person that you actually just were. And when we have a business, we take account of our business. We look at whether or not what we did actually made money. Did it actually work? And we judge a business on that basis. But when we're living for God and we've got these talents, how many times do we look back over our life and look at the things that God has given to us and say, what have I accomplished? What have I done with what God has given to me? Have I been faithful? Not have I kept it very safe, wrapped in a napkin and buried in the earth. Have I increased it? Do I have more value today than I had 5 years ago? When Jesus comes back, is he going to find the talents that he gave me increased, having done work in his kingdom? That's what we want. And you know, the fact of the matter is, I think one of the biggest problems with why Christians are so slothful in the things of God is not because they don't love God and they don't want to serve him and they're too lazy to do anything, but it is because the devil has got us deceived constantly. He is pouring his filth into our minds about who we are, what the truth is, what God wants, what we're supposed to do. And we're scared. We're scared. We're deceived. We're kept down. We are not overcoming. Just like the devil came to Christ and he gave him these things in life. He, do this, do this, do this. And every time Jesus answered what he asked him to do, he answered him with the scriptures. No, I won't do that because of this. No, I won't do that. No, I won't do that. And you know, God comes to you and he shows you something. You happen to see something on earth that was needy, something that you were capable of doing, you thought. And you got all fired up and you wanted to do it. But as you started looking into it, you realized, oh, there's more to it than I thought. I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to have this, and I have to have this, and I just don't know if I can do that. And you lose a little bit of the fire that you had for it. But you might still be planning on it. But after another year goes by, and that fire hasn't been burning, and it's not being fed because you're discouraged about it, the fire's been out. And maybe still somewhere in the back of your mind it's still lurking that maybe you want to do that thing, but you just don't. And you never do. Because you were discouraged about it. It didn't look like it was something you could handle. And you know, Jesus says in this parable to the man who took his one talent, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. And I want to suggest tonight that if there's anybody in this room who just doesn't know what to do with your talents in life, you might go up to somebody else who does and say, give me a job. I need something to do for God. Give me something to do. It may not be your own work. You may not know what to do. But you can take that talent that has been given to you and hand it over to somebody else who can just give you interest on it. And another thing that we face many times in churches is, you know, when we're little people, we're not the smart people, we're not the wealthy people, we're not the people who have life handed to us. We're just the one talent kind of people. We oftentimes, though we think highly of ourselves in our minds, we oftentimes don't have the drive that other people have. You look out in the world and you see the business and you see the wealth and you see the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of life that happens in the world. And then you look into the church and it's like, how come the world is so alive and the church is so dead? Why? And I can't tell you all the reasons why sometimes it seems like people who have less do less with what they have. But you know, it doesn't need to be that way. The scriptures here are written for our admonition so that we can read this and look at the person who had one talent, and we might identify ourselves as being that person. And God gives us a path. He says, get your talent and go do something with it. You know, the guy claims here that he was scared. He was just downright afraid of losing it, he said. I was afraid that if I did something with this talent, I would mess up. That was his biggest mess up. That was his biggest mess up. Now, I don't know what everybody's talents in this room are, but I do happen to know for a matter of fact that there's many, many people sitting here who believe you've got some. And the rest of you, if there's anybody here who doesn't believe you've got any talents, I know you do. God gave you something. Go take account of your books. Go balance your books. And see if your talents, see if the things that God put in your life are being used or if they are sitting on a shelf. Because ultimately, what we want to do here, What I think that most of the people in this room will find, if you go do what I'm saying, what I think you'll probably find is, you'll find a business that is growing at a very, very, very slow rate. You'll be able to look at those talents that God has given to you, and you'll be able to jot down the things you've done. I did this. I did this. I did this. I'm getting better at this. I'm getting better at this. I'm using this gift that God gave me here and there. And it feels like I can see a little bit of growth here. But you know, when you analyze those things, it's not enough. You won't be content with what you see on your notebook. And then is the time that you start looking at, well, last year, this part of the company made this much money. This part of the company made this much money. This part of the company was a loss. Now, if we want to take this company forward, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to completely change how we're handling this part of the company, or it's not going to work. And these parts of the company that are doing well, we're going to put our extra effort there. And when you stop and take a look at who you are and what you're doing for God, you can actually see expanded growth in your life. You know, we want to see that. We want to see fruit. We want to see whatever that fruit might be. It doesn't have to be sold. Now, don't forget that there are people that plant, there are people that water, and there are people that harvest. You don't have to be able to point to a row of people in the church who got saved because of your ministry. All you have to do is point to the activity that you did in the work of Christ. This is where I put my service. The people who are saved may be over there in some jungle where you will never meet, where some missionary labored for 50 years who you helped, or 100 other things. But you want to be able to look at your life and see yourself as being a person of accomplishment. You want to be able to look over what you have done and feel not proud, but feel like I have invested my life, I have invested everything that God has given to me in this work for the kingdom of God. I have invested myself. I have not slept. I have not taken care of myself. I have not lived in pleasure. I have not sat around on the couch with nothing to do. I have not sat in my room discouraged over my friends or lack of them. That's one of the big things that young people do. One of the very biggest things that young people waste their life in. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have a girlfriend. I'm discouraged because somebody doesn't like me. You know, any time in the next year that any person in this room gets discouraged over anything, I want you to come immediately to me and ask me for a job, and I'll set you to work. All right? You can't waste that time. You just can't afford to waste it. Take your life and invest it, all of it, into turning over those talents, one after another, because we need to increase them, because we're working for a king. And someday the king is going to come back and he's going to ask how we did, what we did with the things that he entrusted to us. And at that time we want to have something to show him. The other thing that we should notice about this parable here is the king did not come back and ask for anything that he had not given. This is a very important point, because many of us will try to take the things that we think we're special in and we use those things instead of actually looking at what we have as something God gave to you. You know, if I hire an employee and hand them $1 million, which I don't have to hand, but if I hired an employee and handed them $1 million and said, listen, I want you to go to Southern California, to the valleys where the fruit is grown, and I want you to buy $1 million worth of produce for my company. Here's a car, here's keys, here's the money. He could walk off or drive off feeling like the biggest person on the face of the earth. You know how special I am today? I have $1 million to spend. You know how special that man is? He has nothing that wasn't given to him. Nothing. And if there's anybody in this room who wants sometimes to look around at people and say, this is me up here, there's my friend down there. Now, how come I succeeded like this and he's way down there like that? Actually, the fact of the matter is you did it. You don't have anything that you got yourself. The talents that we're reading about in this passage are things that God gave to you. If you look out over your life and look out over your friend's life and you see yourself with 10 talents and you see your friend with 4, brother, God gave you 5 and God gave him 2. Okay? He did just as good a job in life as you did if he doubled the talents God gave him, as if you doubled the talents God gave you. God is not looking for us to compare ourselves to each other with accomplishment. He is looking for us to compare ourselves to what he gave to us. What have you done with what God has given to you? Not what have you done compared to me. You'll never touch me. Just kidding. All right. Let's dismiss.